Well, hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and I'm really excited about this Numerology Academy call today. It's the 22nd of September, and it's also a 20 universal date, so the number 2 is very, very active, and that basically means relationships are on the front burner, how we relate to each other, how we communicate. And it's all happening on the day of the equinox, especially in North America. I know the equinox happens on the 23rd, very early in the morning in London, in Greenwich, England. But it happens on the 22nd for us here in North America. And so that really weighs down that number even more, because 22 is a very balanced number. The equinox is about equal day and night. And we have the Libra new moon happening on just a couple hours later, again on the 22nd here in North America. So there's a lot of very powerful master number energy being activated. And even if you do not live in North America, if you're in Europe, Australia, Asia, you will still feel the strong pull of the 11 and the number 1. So that's a whole other part of this equation. The 11, of course, is also a number of balance because it represents a gateway, and it represents you walking through that gateway through two pylons that you actually can see as a very balanced energy. So when you walk through the gateway, you feel in balance. You feel in tune. You feel in the moment and grounded. When you don't walk through that gateway and you decide rather you would stay undecided, divided, you will actually feel a real sense of incompletion and conflict in your life. So this number happens to be activated, you know, on the day of the equinox. So no matter whether it's the 23rd or 22nd for you, the equinox is about equal balance. The new moon is in Libra, which is the balances in astrology. And the 11 also is a very balanced energy when you actually activate it in your life. So it's very potent. And then, of course, we have a whole other factor in place, which is Pluto moving direct today. That is very, very powerful energy when Pluto moves direct. And what degree? Of course, it's 11 degrees. It's the number that the Pluto-Uranus square started on in 2011, which is also an 11 right there, the 11th year. And this number 11 is just one that keeps coming up in many ways. So it is a very, very important moment right now. And of course, Pluto is all about empowerment. It's about looking at issues in your life that are ending and beginning again. So it gets very deep with Pluto. Pluto rules Scorpio, and that's very much about the subconscious and our deepest urges, our primordial urges, and the ability to bring them forward and see them lit up in lights now. That's what Pluto wants, so that we don't push them aside and keep them underground. So you really want to look at things that empower you right now or things that are disempowering right now and address those during this time. Like I said, it is about rebalancing. Everything is about bringing things into balance now. It's a really, really wonderful moment. And so you'll want to check where these actual moments are happening in your personal chart, in your astrology birth chart. So where is the new moon taking place for you? Where is Pluto moving direct, which you should know because that Pluto Uranus square has been going on for so long. So you should know that Pluto is in Capricorn and currently right at 11.00 degrees. So you want to check that out and really see, you know, what's going on. Of course, the new moon is a Libra new moon, so it is happening in Libra at 1 degree. So you want to check, well, where's that in my chart? If it's a very important part, let's say it's your ascendant or your midheaven or, you know, within 7 or 8 degrees of this 1 degree Libra. So you could be in Virgo, in the late degrees in Virgo, or the early degrees in Libra. that means it would be conjuncting a very important part of your chart. If you have a planet near that spot or an angle near that spot, or you may be aspecting that spot by a square or a trine or an opposition, that would be very important. And if it's exact, if it's literally, if you have a planet or an angle at 1 degrees or around 2 degrees or right around 0 degrees, you want to check what's going on, because that would you can then look at the inconjuncts, which are 150 degrees. You can look at the semi-sextiles, which are 30 degrees. That would be a sign away from 1 degree Libra, right? So if it's very, very close aspect to the 1 degree Libra, you will want to pay attention to that as well. And that would include the houses as well. So always be on the lookout as to where these events take place. So we covered the equinox, we covered Pluto direct, we covered the new moon, and then there's one more thing I want to bring up with all of you today that's really, really exciting, and that is the Uranus-Jupiter trine that I'm just so thrilled about. This is something that will really launch our real fortunate ability to manifest, especially in the financial area, but just in general, a very, very unbelievably fulfilling occasion that's going on. And that will begin, well, it's actually, you're probably starting to feel it already, because we're on the 22nd of September now, and this actually takes place the 25th of September. But because Uranus and Jupiter are more slower moving planets, they are coming together as we speak, right? So we are starting to feel that now. And it's just such a beautiful, exuberant, fortunate, positive energy. Because it involves Uranus, it's definitely about freedom. And because Jupiter is also involved, it involves tremendous optimism and joy and expansion. So the combination of these two planets is always incredible. This is about being visionary, about being moving outside the box. Things that felt impossible before are now coming true. You know, dreams that may have seemed out of reach can come true now. It's just a matter of you having complete conviction and faith in what it is that you want to manifest. And like I said, this is going to go on through next year. It's a beautiful, beautiful transit. There's going to be a retrograde, which is why we're going to experience it two more times after the 25th of September. And the fact that it occurs at 15 degrees, exactly 15.00 degrees, is another just amazing occasion. We have two of these this month, the 11.00 for Pluto moving direct again, the 15.00 for this trine. Beautiful, so powerful. The 00 is divine protection. The 15, of course, is the spiritual alchemist. It's also a number about freedom when it comes to looking at cycles in numerology. The number 15 definitely brings a sense of great freedom, which Uranus is the same, represents the same exact symbolism. So feel how you are freed during this time right now. Feel, really pay attention to people and experiences and ideas and plans that you have that truly are liberating you and freeing you up in a way that is very, very joyful. Right? So it's like you can't wipe that smile off your face because you're so excited about this. It's an incredible energy. And what I love about it, too, is that there is a grand trine being formed from Uranus and Jupiter to Mars. Mars is at 8 degrees in Sagittarius on the 25th of September when this trine between Uranus and Jupiter becomes exact at 15.00 degrees. There, and so, you know, 8 degrees Mars is 7 degrees away, so it's definitely close enough to form this grand trine, and it's not just any grand trine, it's a fire sign trine. It's in the fire signs of Sagittarius, Aries, and Leo. Very exciting. I mean, it's obviously lighting a fire under you. And Mars, of course, is the ruler of Aries. Mars is currently in Sagittarius, as we know. So Mars is in a fire sign, a natural sign for Mars to be in. It is lighting up the fire trine by virtue of being in it, of course. And it's at 8 degrees, which is about empowerment. So this combination is just quite stunning, and I want all of you to find it in your birth charts and in your client birth charts, because wherever it's taking place is going to be just some incredible freeing of energy going on. So find Jupiter, find Uranus, and find Mars on the 25th of September, and draw that grand trine in your astrology birth chart, and just to see where it's affecting you. And you'll be really experiencing some beautiful shifts in that regard, you know, in that area of your life. So now tomorrow in the Future Forecast Formula call, I'm going to go into the amazing stuff that's going on in October. I mean, this is just mind-blowing stuff, and I'm really excited to reveal the code to all of you tomorrow who are in Future Forecast Formula, so you'll have that for the month. But for today, that's what I wanted to focus on in terms of just what is happening right now. And remember that in October, anytime you're in October during any year, you're having a forecast of the actual number that's being activated in the next year, right, the next fiscal year, which would begin in January. So October in 2014 is an 8 universal month, and of course next year, 2015, is an 8 universal year. So pay attention to what is happening to you in October. It's going to be a great indication of what you're focusing on next year. And of course, you'll want to remember that the number 15 for this Uranus-Jupiter trine is activating 2015, that actual number. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the next weeks that is going to help you really align with the incredible code that's being unleashed, which, by the way, I'm giving a whole seminar on, online 5-hour seminar, which all of you really I would recommend register for, because the astronumerology is going to be really important for you to use as well, not only for yourself but for your clients. So that's my 2015 money-making formula. You'll want to be a part of that and really understand the incredible opportunities that all of us are going to have and when they're going to be triggered for us. So let me move on now to some of your questions. I want to remind you that press star 6 to get in the queue if you want to either follow up on something I'm answering for you based on your email, or whether you have a question you want to talk to me in person. Just press star 6 and get in line. And right now I want to start with Diana, who asks, and I love this question because it's so apropos for today. We're in a 20 universal date, which is a 2, and it's the 22nd, and you're asking about relationships. So I wanted to start with this one. So what you're asking here is, Is it a good thing and easier if two lovers have the same life path or many similar numbers? In particular, if both are life path 40, which is a 4, which I believe is a difficult, you say a hard life path anyway, because 40s are so regimented. Okay, I'm not going to go into the next part of your question, but let me answer this part first. If two lovers, two partners, have the same life path number, yes, it definitely is a very powerful attractor point. It means that they will absolutely have an initial magnetic attraction. If they are, you know, you're talking about the number 40, which I'll get into in a moment. One of the things I want to remind you of is, in a partnership, you do want to have some balancing going on, so you don't want to have too many of the same numbers. It's good to have to share some numbers or share triads, right? The 248 triad or the 369 triad or the 157 triad. it's good to resonate in terms of the triads. On the other hand, it's also good to have some balance. So it can get a little complex because sometimes the balance is really necessary if your life is very intense. If you go to, now I don't know if this Numerology Academy level 1 or 2, but I do give a reading of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and their numbers codes are what seems to be very incompatible, and in that Brad and Angelina's numbers are very different from each other. And so there's a definite rebalancing going on. But what I recommend for that kind of relationship always is that they don't spend all their time together because they are quite different in many ways. And when they come together, it's that they bring an energy to the relationship that allows the relationship to thrive because it brings it back into balance between the two people, right? Now, of course, their astrology has some incredible connections. So it really does help in many cases, obviously, to do both. I mean, I highly recommend that. But if you only do the numerology and you find that between a couple, that their numbers are quite different, but that they are rebalancing in some way, that's one way to look at it, okay? So keep that in mind. It's not always the case. There's definitely a sense of, wow, we need therapy or, wow, we need to have time apart. You know, we need our space. We need to be working, in their case, on different sets for a month or two and then come together and blah, blah, blah. So obviously their lives are very complex and very different than most people's lives. So it works for them. If you're living with that person, though, full time, it probably would be very difficult. So you always want to find out from your clients what the arrangement is. In terms of your question, Diana, the number 40, if both are life path 40. 40, yes, it is definitely a number of regimentation, putting things in boxes, almost not being able to step out of the box unless you're with a person who is a 3, who can relax you and bring humor into the situation and make light of the fact that putting things in boxes isn't necessarily always, you know, conducive to being flexible with a partner, right? So it's a good thing for certain things, obviously. But in terms of a partnership, you want to step out of a box and be able to be flexible. So if both are 40s, it can be somewhat challenging. And it's not because that's a challenging number. Far from it. 40 is, I wouldn't consider any life purpose number challenging or fortunate. It really is what you make of the number, okay? The only time it becomes challenging is when you're talking about fortunate or unfortunate names. You really, really have to watch it then. But for life purpose, you know, I have a close friend who's a 40. In fact, I have 2. And I wouldn't say that their lives are challenging. I would just say that they think in unique ways. They approach life in a way that is obviously regimented. And it just depends on what other numbers they have, whether they're able to, you know, leave their regimentation and understand how important it is to be flexible too. So that depends on who they're with, how much they're willing to step out, what the love relationship is like. Is it really based on a deep, deep love or not, et cetera, et cetera. So there are many factors there. So then you're also asked, conversely, how could this life path get along with the polar opposite, 5 or 3? And you give like a 32-5 life purpose or a 30 life purpose, which is a 3, coupled with that 4, the 40. Like I just said, it may be a fabulous thing because polar opposites do attract, number one, we do know that. But there have to be other things in the chart that do resonate, right? So again, look at both the astrology and the numerology because sometimes you'll find it more in one than the other and vice versa. So it's always good to look at both. If it's just the numerology, all I can say is a 3 and a 4, initially you'd say, oh, they're completely in conflict. They're so different from each other. Yes, but they also complement each other. And so depending on where they're at spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in themselves, how the rest of the code relates to each other, it could be a really good thing for both the 3 and the 4, not just the 4 person. Okay? So I hope that answers your question. It does get a little difficult to answer sometimes because every combination of two people is different. So if I don't have the whole thing in front of me to share with you what I'm getting, both intuitively and from the actual scientific code that's in front of me, it's not just that there's a blanket statement that I can give you, right? Because it is very complex when two people get together. These are two different souls, and so there's so much more than just looking at the two life purpose numbers. Okay, so that's Diana, right. Diana, if you're on the call and you have a follow-up, just press *6 and I will answer for you. Let me go to the next few questions. They come from Elaine. And Elaine asks, on the last call you talked about the wisdom number. What is it and how do you calculate it? I think I gave you that information, but I'll just go over it again. Elaine, the way you calculate the wisdom number is you take the single-digit life purpose number. So in this case, if it was 4, you know, 40 would be 4, and you add the single digit to itself. So you add 4 plus 4. If it is a master number, then you would keep it, you wouldn't reduce it to the single digit. So if the life purpose number is 29 and it reduces to 11, don't reduce that to 2. Keep it at 11, add 11 plus 11, which is 22. So the wisdom number in that case is 22. In the initial example I gave, the wisdom number 4 plus 4 equals 8. The wisdom number is 8. What is the wisdom number? The wisdom number activates after midlife, and it is the doubling of your life purpose number. So it is a very important indication of how your life will unfold when you are wise, okay? So just think of the wisdom that comes with older age, when you've lived a full life, right? You've experienced relationships, marriage, partnership, maybe having children, jobs, career, and you've come to this point where you've just really encapsulated what it is like to be living on Earth at this time, and you've amassed a lot of wisdom as a result. So doubling the life purpose gives you an idea of where your life is headed in, you know, starting with mid to late 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, et cetera, 70s. And so, for example, for the number 8, if their life purpose was 40, which is a 4, and which is very much about order and planning and step-by-step movement, and there's a brilliance to the number 4 as well, very out-of-the-box brilliance as well to that number. And so, and then, of course, let's say the person is in their late 40s and or 50s or 60s, 70s, whatever. You then say, okay, well, you've reached this point now in your life where you are also activating the number 8 in addition to the number 4. And that number 8 is very much about power and taking power and manifesting your brilliant ideas in a way that leaves a lasting a lasting legacy. And 8 is very much about abundance and prosperity, and it represents balance, you know. So for every action, there's an equal reaction, right? The infinity symbol is like the balances, like Libra in many ways. So it symbolizes gaining abundance and power, but in a balanced way, in a very potent way. It means taking on a leadership role, an authoritative role, more than you might have before if number 8 isn't part of your blueprint. So it means you would get recognition during this time for things that you might have not been recognized for earlier in your life. And so, there's actual aspects of this person's life that would shift into the number 8 at that point, okay? So that's your first question. Your second question is about the second house in astrology. And you ask, if the second house is about values and what's important, and it is ruled by Taurus and Venus, could that mean that value is in beauty and love and harmony on a down-to-earth level? Elaine, if you mean in general, yes, it is. This house is ruled by Taurus, and you know Venus governs Taurus, so that is about beauty. Venus also governs wealth, and it governs beauty in a sense of beauty and love. So it's a very important manifestation grounding number. So it is an earth sign. So yes, it represents all those things, how you ground money, et cetera, et cetera. But what you have to keep in mind is you need to look at your own chart and see who rules your second house for you personally. And so you ask me, my moon is at 12 degrees in my second house in Aquarius. So your house is ruled by, it's actually not ruled by Aquarius. I'm just looking at your chart. Your house is actually ruled by Capricorn, but your moon happens to be in Aquarius in your second house. You also say Chiron is at 2 degrees Aquarius. I'm going to get to Chiron a little bit later because there's another question about this actual comet. It's not a planet. Okay, so moon at 12 degrees in Aquarius in the second house. Second house cusp is 19 degrees Capricorn. Would the value theme have something to do with freedom or new ways to experience love and harmony? Absolutely. That's a great interpretation, Elaine, because Aquarius is about the future, is about freedom. You know, Uranus governs Aquarius, right? So Aquarius is very much about breakthroughs and freedom and moving forward into the future and thinking outside the box. And your moon is in Aquarius in that second house. So the moon does govern motherly instincts, you know, the feminine power you have, as well as your emotions, and also how you relate to others emotionally. So having that moon at 12 degrees, you want to pay attention, too, to how you may put yourself in the back seat in your emotional relationships, meaning the 12 can be, in the ancient Chaldean description of this number, considered a victim number. On the other hand, it's a very creative number. It's a 3, 12-3, and a number of learning. So yes, there's a lot of factors here to look at with that moon, but your interpretation is definitely correct, and I like it. Your actual house, though, is ruled by Capricorn, and that is an earth sign. It is a sign that's very compatible with Taurus, and you have it at 17 degrees. That's a very, very powerful number and a sign that's very grounding and methodical, right? Capricorn's ruled by Saturn. So there's a lot here for you to work with. I just want to make sure that your emotional balance is there. If you feel emotionally balanced, you're able to truly manifest financially in a much easier way. Of course, your chart is quite extraordinary given that you have seven planets in the eighth house opposite this moon. Now, that is hugely rare. I mean, extremely rare to have seven planets in one house. That's like most of your chart is situated in one house. And so there's a lot more, you know, in your case, to understand, given what we just talked about as well. So, and I know we have had an astro-numerology session together, and we did talk about this, but you want to also always remember that eighth house that's opposite. When you talk about the second house, Elaine, you've got to consider your eighth house because it is truly the focal point of your whole chart, okay? So, all right, and then you say when forecasting the full or new moon, they fall into certain houses. Does the house that they fall in set a theme for the moon-sun locations? Yes, of course, and I do mention this almost monthly that you, and I just did today, that you want to find where the full and new moon are located in your actual birth chart. Find the house. In terms of full moon, it's two houses, right, because the sun and moon are opposite each other. So you want to look at both of those houses in your chart. You know, the houses that lie opposite each other, they're related. There's always a relationship between those two houses. So with Elaine, we just looked at the second and eighth house. Those two houses have a very intricate relationship with each other. And that relationship, in this case, is about values and money, and then the eighth house is about sexuality, money owed to you, life and death, transformation. So what I teach my VIPs and in my mastermind is, you know, the importance of feeling sexually complete, feeling sexually like you have either in a creative way, an outlet for that incredible energy. You know, the sexual energy is creation in itself. The most potent way to create is when you're tied in to that male-female part of yourself. And so when that is in flow in your life, it does affect your ability to earn money. And so those two houses are intricately related. Same goes for all the other houses, right? They're very much, so you want to, so the full moon brings that into perspective because the full moon has the sun in one house and opposite is the moon. The new moon takes place in one house because it's when the two planets come together, sun and moon, as we have coming up in a couple days, Libra 1 degrees, both the moon and sun will be there. So in that case, you would just look at one house and you would look at that house and you would say, okay, this is happening in, you know, my third house. So I really will be focusing on communication for the next month, maybe starting a new way to communicate, figuring out a new way to reach my message or for clients to receive my message, maybe trying a new venue, a new way of spreading my message or starting a different kind of message, a new way of conveying it but also changing the message itself. So there's many different ways to interpret it depending on what you do and where you are at in your life. It could also just mean communication between you and your lover or you and your friends, you and your colleagues, right? So yeah, always look at the house. And then you also say, you ask, or is the sign and degree the most important factor to consider? This is with full moon and new moon. The sign and degree, of course, are important. They always are. It's never one thing. You know, you always want to look at the full picture. So, like the Libra new moon is at 1 degrees. If one is one of your important numbers, or 10, or 19, or 28, or 37, you know, anything that reduces to one, this new moon is going to affect you even more because one is part of your code. So that's very, very important. If the sign Libra is important to you in any ways, if it's your ascendant or your sun sign or your moon sign, or you know you have a lot of planets in Libra, or you have a conjunction in Libra, or one of your important houses, like for example, Elaine, let's say your eighth house was a Libra cusp, ruled by Libra, this new moon would be extraordinarily important to you. So yes, the sign, degree, the location, the house, all of them have to be taken into consideration when you look at forecasting or, current transits. And that goes for progressions as well. And, of course, solar arcs, which I cover in Future Forecast Formula. So, yes. And let's see, you have one more question before we move on to our third email. And by the way, if any of you have follow-ups, just press *6. You can get in line and ask me in person while we're on the call. So that's what I'm here for. And it doesn't matter how simple the question is. I want everybody to feel comfortable, whether you're a newbie to numerology and astrology or whether you're a practitioner with many years' experience. All questions are welcome. So, Elaine, you finally asked that I haven't talked much about the asteroids other than Chiron. I noticed that there's a symbol for the Earth placed in the chart. What is the significance of the Earth symbol? Is it how we ground the energies of the sun or the path we take to express our divine nature? Okay, that, again, is important. The Earth symbol looks like a cross inside a circle. So if you see that in a birth chart, that's what it looks like. And it basically represents the position of Earth in, from the perspective of when you were born in the chart. So the Earth is, yes, it is a place of grounding in your chart because the Earth is literally about the ground. It is Earth. When you say the word Earth, it is about grounding, but it also is the planet we live on, and it represents the number 4, and 4 is about grounding. So it is a very important part of your chart, but it's not one I've discussed a lot because this is for future in-depth. My Numerology Academy Level 3 will be going into some of these very in-depth parts, including Chiron, and including some other things that I haven't brought up yet that are just, very intricate and going into some layers that are bringing in the subconscious and the unseen energies, right? So the Earth symbol itself, just in general, it is used in astronomy as well. Some astrologers do use it. It doesn't come up much in astrology. So there is one idea that it represents some kind of blind spot in your life. I've read a book about that. I don't totally agree with that. The reason it could represent that is because in your chart, where the Earth is a location where you are standing. So you don't know, you don't actually see it because you're on the Earth, right? So it could represent a blind spot. You don't see it. It's like a shadow side, right? So that's one way of interpreting it, okay? So that answers all of your questions, Elaine. So let's go now to Andrea. I don't know if you're on the call, Andrea, because you said in your email that our call was yesterday, so I wasn't sure whether you actually understood that the call is today. In any case, Andrea, you ask, can you explain the meaning for Chiron, North Node, and South Node? Okay, Chiron I did mention last time a bit. Chiron in astrology is referred to, this is the actual way astrologers refer to Chiron, is the wounded healer. So it is it's not a planet though, right? So it's an actual comet, and it was discovered in 1977, and it has a very erratic orbit. So it keeps moving between Saturn and Uranus. So it's not, Saturn and Uranus are always going to stay in the orbits that they are. Saturn will never be, further from Earth than Uranus, et cetera. But Chiron flits around. So it's a comet. It's not a planet. So it has an interesting orbit, and so it keeps going somewhere between Saturn and Uranus, sometime, above or below those two planets or in between. So it represents the wounded healer in astrology. So really the way that I interpret that is that it's your deepest unresolved issue, or one of your deepest unresolved issues, because there's more to your chart. There's the 12th house as well, right? You have a lot of deep unresolved issues revealed in that house, and also the 8th house. The 8th house is about the taboo subjects, right? So, but Chiron sheds another light on issues that, that need to be resolved, but it also shows your intention, like how you can use your intention to heal that part of your life. And so it reveals your actual healing abilities as well, not just the issue itself. This is my take on Chiron. So where it's placed in your chart can show where you have the ability to be a healer in what regard, right? So and as a result of those abilities, you're able to bring the imbalance that's there because of your unresolved issue. That imbalance, you can actually resolve it so that you become a self-realized human being, somebody who's totally in charge of your destiny. Self-realization is really akin to being enlightened. So it's a very, very deep part of your chart, and it's something that's not often easily talked about with clients, because when clients come to you, they want more mundane questions answered, love life, wealth, job, all of that. So getting to the point where you get to talking about something as deep as your wounded healer does take a little bit of understanding where the client's at. Is the client ready for this? So just keep that in mind. Now, in terms of your nodes, we've got two nodes, the nodes of the moon. They're not planets either, but they do indicate in a chart what used to be called by astrologers two karmic points. The south node are traits that you brought into this life that you have an abundance of, and then the north nodes are traits that you need to develop to gain fulfillment and balance. So wherever that south node is, you'll know you have a lot of gifts there that you can bring forward, but there may be an overabundance of those gifts as well. So keep that in mind. And then the north node shows the house or location in the chart where you want to develop more. You want to pay more attention to that house. So let's say it's in the 10th house. Let's say your north node is in the 10th house. You'll want to really focus on gaining public recognition in some way for the work that you love to do. So making sure that your that word gets out, that you have a presence, an online presence, or some kind of presence that gives you a vehicle to spread the word about what it is you do, because you haven't necessarily focused on that side of things in previous lifetimes. You may have put your own gifts aside in favor of helping others with theirs. That's a possible interpretation of North Node and 10th House, right? So, yeah. So just keep that in mind when you do readings as well, as where are those nodes. Now, in terms of forecasting, it's different, okay? So the nodes in forecasting represent actually your relationships and groups that you join. For example, when I say groups, it could mean an actual mastermind group or a private Facebook group, or like Numerology Academy would be a group. In terms of relationships, it would cover any kind of relationships with people who are, you know, just a person. A very important relationship could be business, personal, or, like I said, an actual community that you join, a relationship with a community. So it's a different kind of interpretation. Okay, so that is an interpretation of the nodes. And let's see. That's it for email questions today. So let me go to your calls. Again, if you want to follow up on anything I brought up just now for the last 42 minutes, please get on the line, press star 6, and I will answer you. Let's go to the first caller here. That is Erica 250. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. It's Fiona calling.
Hi, Fiona.
How are you?
What's up? What's going on?
Well, I'm just kind of with what you said. I've got kind of two questions here. I can see from, like, I feel like I have a lot of stuff going on this month in my own personal chart. And especially today, I believe there could be some karmic aspects coming up that I need to keep my eyes peeled on. But, and then for October, I'm going with the intensity of the energies now and how everything's lining up, I'm going, what do you see coming up at this time?
For
and
you,
then I'm going with that, it's even taking that information, because I just feel all of a sudden I'm getting phone calls from people that I've done readings for a year ago are all of a sudden trying to book readings with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really to help them work through this stuff.
Right. Okay. Let me just pull up first your chart, your code, and just have a look. So your code is a 3 and a 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's your personal year right now?
I'm in my 8th.
No, I mean your personal year. So if you add your month and your day, yes, you're right. You are in an 8. You're right. You're 17-8. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in a 17-8 personal year. You're born in July, so it recently started. So that's a very important number that's happening for you. September, of course, is going to be, for everyone, a very, very potent month, because you're adding 9 to your personal year. It doubles it up. As we know, it's very intense for everybody right now. Coupled with the fact that the universal numbers are 7, right? 67
right.
And 7. And that is so much about listening to your intuition, which you do, Fiona. You're a psychic professionally, but most people don't. So you're, though, feeling, because you're so sensitive, being the nature of your work and who you are, you're feeling these energies in a major way.
Yes. Like, I feel like I know way too much now.
Really? Is that how it feels? Like,
well, it's just I know things, like, I don't even realize what I know. I say things, and then it comes out, and then all of a sudden people come back. Did you know something? And it's almost I speak something, and I don't really, Fiona consciously is not acknowledging it until after the fact, and I went, oh, my God. So at my subconscious level, I knew.
Yes. Well, that is very, very common during a time like we are right now, just so you know.
Okay.
This ability to tune in because of the double seven. This is not to do with your actual numbers right now. This is just in general for all of us.
Okay.
The ability to tune in on that level that you just described is extremely high. Being able to channel right now, if people are interested in channeling, they would have, or even if they're not, they would discover they're able to bring through information now in a much easier way than they did before.
Right.
Right? So so that's number one. So for you as a professional psychic to feel this obviously makes a lot of sense. It is sometimes disconcerting. That's why I think you said too much. You said something like too much information. Yes, I mean, it can feel that way, but really what's happening is you're being opened up. So it's never really too much. It's a matter of are you able to handle what's coming
through.
Well,
to readjust. See, I felt
to readjust.
Big shift at the beginning of September because things that used to probably emotionally push my buttons, I am just so cool and collective that it's like, okay.
That's a good thing, Fiona. So I wouldn't say, I mean, that's fabulous. And that's your double eight, by the way. Your eight, you know, two, four, and eight are in the very much more calm manifestation triad, right?
Okay.
And you don't have those numbers in your chart. So being in this kind of year in the eight environment during this time when this big breakthrough is happening anyway is very good for you because you're able to handle it much more easily. You're able to stay calm and collected and just digest the information and not feel like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Which may be sometimes your tendency with these other numbers you usually, you know, that your birth blueprint is a double three and a nine. So that means you're very deeply, sensitively connected to people. This eight is allowing you to now really move rapidly towards a new level of reading your clients. You know, there's something going on for you where you're now discovering, wow, I can do this too, and I can rely on this, and it feels good, and it feels strong, and I'm able to, you know, be there for my clients in this way. So just trust it and allow it to really work through you. It's going to leave a lasting legacy no matter what because of the year you're in. You're in a 17 year. So all these experiences you're having are really transforming you and they're going to affect you and your business in a lasting way. So I don't see anything to be concerned about at all. Let me just see. You have Uranus and Jupiter for this trine are in your third house and your seventh house. Now, the third house with Uranus there is wonderful for communication. So there's a lot for you now to do with communication. And on our next VIP call, I can also go into that with you. So just communicating your message is important. So if you're receiving insights, do you have a blog yet on your website where you can actually blog about it?
No.
Yeah. You'll want to, in the next, you know, like I said, this is going to last for quite a while into 2015, this trine
right.
I was talking about. You'll want to really start working on getting that blog up and running on your WordPress site so you can start blogging because you are supposed to be communicating now to the world, to your clients, to your list, to your, you know, tribe, your family, about insights that you're getting. They want to hear from you, which is good, and you have things to tell them, which is even better.
Right.
And so definitely, this is how you do it. You said this is how you can consult with your clients. What I'm doing for you right now, I'm telling you where this trine is taking place. You can do the same thing for your clients, and then you can spiral from there with your psychic gifts and see even more, you know, where and when this is meant to take place for them.
Right.
So all of this, the fact that you're doing numerology and astrology as part of your psychic practice is really expanding you rapidly, and it's allowing you to go to places that other psychics can't go because you're seeing things in the code that are almost like reading the Akashic records. It's similar, and I know you do that. You read the records. This is a very similar thing because the records are a living entity, and they are actually changing as we speak, right? So following the code for any soul is like allowing them to really transform and be very much part of that record, right?
Right.
And making it, understanding the role that they play in terms of empowering their code. It's really, really big right now for all of us practitioners.
Right. Well, I can see it now because when I first started doing the, just with the reading, just doing their three base of the numerology code, the three numbers, I feel like I see more, I see how they fit, I see where, I see underneath where,
mm-hmm.
I already know by just doing that before I read for them,
mm-hmm.
where they're stumbling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, yes. And like I said, in the Astro Alliance Mastermind call, when we do that, I want you to bring this up again because there's more I want to tell you about what's happening for you, because it's very important we talk about setting up your blog. There are other things too. So on our next call, we'll go into that. But yeah, it's really, really, you know, in general, breakthroughs for you, definitely about communication and your relationship. It's in the seventh house as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something really beautiful happening there. I would, my sense is, you know, looking at this for you, seventh house,
right?
You're expanding, and your husband, I believe, is going to be more supportive.
Okay.
So that can be a result for you on this level of what's happening with this trine. And it's also the way you talk to him. I mean, I find in my partnerships, you know, and I've been with guys who, whether they're interested or not, my ex-husband was not that interested, so I had to talk to him in a certain way. But, you know, in my partnerships, there's a way of using words and conveying what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling this to you, Fiona, because I know that your husband doesn't understand what you do.
Right.
And you've told me that. So there's a way to speak to him that allows him to feel like he's being recognized for who he is at the same time that you're conveying something about yourself that is a sharing of an experience that he wouldn't otherwise get. And the way you do that is through humor.
Yes.
One fabulous way. And why am I bringing this up for you and everybody? It's because when Jupiter and Uranus get together like this, humor is probably the most powerful healing tool you have. This is the most humorous combination you can have in astrology, Jupiter and Uranus. Because Uranus loves to fool around and trick people sometimes, and
right.
Jupiter is very funny and happy. So you bring
right.
these two together at 15 degrees, the love vibration, it's really amazing what you can do in terms of healing on that level.
Okay.
So try to use, and I'm not talking the kind of humor that is where you're making, it's a very subtle humor in this case for
yes.
you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so any other questions that you have?
No, that was just interesting. It's just to find, I just know what's happened to myself, so I can imagine what's happening for other people that don't really understand maybe what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
At, you know, understanding the numerology, the astrology, and why the energy right now is so tense and, So when I have much more clarity myself, then it's easier to help them explain, well, what's happening and what they can do.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes. That's right, exactly. And that's I love how you said that. When I understand what's happening to myself, it's easier to explain. And that is very true. That's why we
mm-hmm.
always go to our own charts first, and then we get insights not only about ourselves, but in general. How would this affect somebody who has this, you know?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Right, and so because you've already uncovered the actual transit or, you know, progression or whatever it is you're looking at. You've already uncovered the meaning behind it in terms of yourself. So now you can uncover the meaning behind it in terms of others.
Right, right.
A lot easier once you do that. So
yes.
always start with yourself if you can. And if you can't, then because you're used to it, I mean, just make sure that you draw out. I mean, I love having these calls, because it allows me to prepare for myself as well as I prepare for all of you I learn and I get all excited about what it means.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're all helping each other here, and your questions themselves enlighten us even deeper, because as we're reading each other's charts, you know, as I'm doing this for you, I'm like, oh, okay, new line here. I've just discovered something else. So, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I have these calls every month, so we can really allow ourselves to do that. And I'd love for all of you to participate in the calls, either through email or you know, talking to me personally, because it really does shift the conversation into a deeper mode for all of us. So thank you, Fiona, for your question. That was really good.
Thank you for answering it.
You're welcome. And we'll talk, I think, well, you're on the call tomorrow, I believe, so we might have more then. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, press star six, excuse me, not sick. That wasn't good. Press star six if you have a question for me. And we have another caller here I will get to now. Let's see, this is area code 918. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. Tanya Gabriel, this is Kwanzaa.
Hi, Kwanzaa. You can say Tanya.
Tanya,
yeah,
okay.
It's fine. I'll call you Kwanzaa. You call me Tanya.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. How are you?
I have a question for you. Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. You know, me and I guess sometimes high strung, but I'm doing okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. Are you high strung now because of the double seven?
I think so. Oh, my gosh. Yes, my laptop went out yesterday morning, and I'm just, like, freaking out, like, now. Like, I need this stuff to work. I've got things on here I need. So, yeah, I was like, maybe this double energy is messing with my computer. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, so I got to get that.
Yeah. Well, that fits into it. You know, sudden events. I mean, if you haven't experienced anything sudden this month, you're really in the minority, I have to say. So that would include computer malfunctions. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. Got to get that together. Yeah, but I was just wondering if you could – well, I actually have two questions. You were talking about Chiron, and I don't know. I just was wondering what your opinion is on the meaning of if Chiron is conjunct someone's ascendant.
Ooh,
what would that mean?
That's a pretty big deal. Is that the case for you?
Yes. When you were mentioning, I said, "Well, let me go check and see where mine is." And then I just noticed they were both 9 degrees.
Where is it? Tell
Taurus.
Me.
In my 9 degrees Taurus. Let's see. Chiron is 9 degrees Taurus, and my ascendant is 9 degrees Taurus.
Oh, it's exactly conjunct.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah, that's very, very important. If something's that close, and in this case, the same number even. Yes, you definitely want to pay attention to Chiron. Now, in Numerology Academy, I don't touch upon Chiron. Like I said, it is an asteroid. I did not include it. It is something I will in the future. In your case, yes, I would absolutely look at, well, the 9 degrees, of course, you know, means unconditional love and leadership and wisdom and the eternal philosopher and all of that. The Taurus energy is very, very good. I like that. In terms of this, because it does ground you. So the combination with Chiron, if there was any sign I would want to, you know, combine it with in this regard, because it's conjunct your ascendant, that's a big deal. Taurus is wonderful. For you, let me look at where Venus is. Okay, it's in the fifth house. So your healing will take place, the wounded healer that this represents, will be very much helped by you, your creativity and feeling a sense of play. Anything that is that takes you to where you feel like a child again and feel like you can explore parts of you in a fun, creative way, that will allow that wounded healer to really come into balance.
Now, did you say my Venus
was
in the fifth house?
I'm looking at your transits right now. Your current Venus is in the fifth. Let me look at where is your. Oh, it's in the 11th. So actually, it's through your friendships, the people you meet that are very close to you, and your ability to look into the future. Let me go to your birth chart so I'm reading this correctly. Yes, it's at 8 degrees in your 11th house. So what I'm doing is, and it's also in Pisces, very, very deep sign in terms of feelings. So your actual ability to heal from wounds that are that feel psychological or deep, which in your case, people may even come to you. Are you somebody people come to you like with a lot of, you know, wanting you to counsel them in some way? Because to have Chiron there would, to me, mean that they recognize in you somebody who's able to treat them or help them.
Well, yeah, it's funny you mention that because that goes into my next question. I want to start a healing business, like start with natural health and want to do
mm-hmm.
astronumerology and
mm-hmm.
life coaching. People do call me for things. I think sometimes they just like me to listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes they like advice. A lot of times they just like to
Yeah, so in this case, it's fabulous to have Venus in that 11th house, actually, in Pisces. Because look at Pisces, that's the very deep emotional connection, the water sign, you know, with Neptune ruler. It's very much about the subconscious. And so you have 9 degrees Taurus as your ascendant, 9 degrees Taurus with your Chiron there on your ascendant. So whether Chiron is there or not, and he is, or she, asteroid, is you definitely would be looking at how you help people heal their inner struggles, their wounds, you know, because of the connection here. And this would happen through groups. So if you want to open a center, there's absolutely a connection here to a community, right? Because the 11th house rules that. It rules speaking groups. It rules coming together with others in a sense of an actual family. Like this is the kind of family that I'm talking about with friends, right? So, but it rules that kind of idea of coming together. And Pisces is about healing as well. So in terms of you wanting to start something like that, it makes total sense. You know, if you look at Chiron especially in conjunction with everything, it makes total sense to me. So let's see. Yeah, I'm just looking, going back to the chart I initially looked at where I saw Venus in the fifth house. That's the transit. Your Uranus, has this whole Uranus-Pluto square has been in your 12th house. And your ninth house is about education and being the teacher. 12th house is about all the subconscious stuff that goes on. It's been conjunct your moon. Your moon's in the 12th house at eight degrees. So, yeah, this is a big moment for you when Uranus is trining Jupiter. This is coming up now. It's going to last through July of next year. So this is when I say big moment, it's just a very highly lucrative, fortunate time for you to start with this idea you have.
Great to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's other things to look at, obviously, but that's just, you know, in a nutshell to answer your question about Chiron and looking just real briefly here what's going on. The reason I also wanted to look at Uranus is because Uranus naturally rules that 11th house that Venus is in, you know. And you understand why I moved to Venus, right? Because Venus rules Taurus. Right. So now I'm looking at, well, Venus is in the 11th house. Who's the natural ruler of that house? Uranus and Aquarius, right? So I'm looking at, and Aquarius is ruling that house for you. Aquarius is at 21 degrees in the house cusp for the 11th. So you actually have Aquarius ruling the house. So Uranus is even more important to you. So you want to look at that. Well, Uranus is in your 12th house, transiting, has been for a while. You know, this grand square that we've had since 2011 is happening there for you and the 9th house. So the fact that this trine now between Uranus and Jupiter is happening there and in your 4th house, which is the home for Jupiter, Jupiter's in your 4th house, that really, it's a fantastic time for you to get going on this. I mean, if that's what you were planning, I don't know if you were, but
I am, and that was
going
to be my next question. Like, can you help me with a date or a month or a time when it would probably be best according to my astronumerology? I was thinking maybe the end of October, beginning of November, and then my husband was like, well, maybe that's too soon. Maybe you should wait till next year, like January. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, let's look at that. What is your personal year right now?
12-3.
Okay. And you're a 4, 5, and a 6. your main code. So the three, the six being your destiny number. And so the three activates the six, which is your career, environment, destiny, right? So, yes, this is a good year, right? That right there will tell you. The 3, 6, 9 are in a triad. So being in a three personal year activates your six destiny, which is your career. So this year is very important for you. Now, I know your birthday is in January, so this year is almost over. Three and a half more months, right? Then you enter a four-year, though, a 13-4-year, a very powerful transformational year. And you happen to also be a 22-4, a day of birth. So it's not like you've got to get it all done now. But you certainly want to start it now because your career number is being activated. You will definitely be continuing this next year because the number four is about building. That is, it's the architect number, right? It represents the square, which is the basis of most structures on the planet is, you know, a rectangle square. So it represents building something from the ground up, brick by brick, which is what you would be doing. I mean, figuratively and literally, you would be, you know, think either starting a new center, doing something like that. So it would definitely continue next year. In terms of the timing, in terms of the month, I think October is great for you because it's both a four personal months, right, in this three personal year. So 12, 3, and 13, 4 are being activated at once in that month. So that's
it's
actually
8 universal month. I don't know if that means anything, but I think 8 is one of my favorites in my astrological chart. Like,
well, here's the other thing. Like I said, remember, October is a preview of always, every year, of the next year. Always. And that's why a lot of live events take place in October because they're actually preparing you for what you can do next year. So you'll find in business, live events, many of them take place then.
Can you tell me what date, like the 26th, 27th, or 31st, you think will be best?
Well, can you figure those out? Because you'll be in an 8. No, you'll be in a 4, a 13-4 personal month.
Yeah, I did. For the 26th, it would be a, let's see, it would be a 21-3 personal day for
mm-hmm.
me.
So is that good for you?
22-4 personal day. And then the 31st would be a 17-8 personal day.
Yeah, so you picked some really good days. You did, because the 21-3 activates your 3 personal year. The 4 activates your actual, the 22-4 activates one of your numbers, 22-4. And next year, and then, of course, the 17-8 is leaving a legacy behind. The only other number I would try to figure out in this equation is how to get a 6 personal day, because your destiny is a 6.
I found one on the 29th. Only thing is it's an 11 day, like, you know, 29-11. So I was like, all right, does that mean I'm going to be, like, divided that day? And
No.
Oh,
okay. Uh-uh. 11 is double new beginnings. So a 29-11 day in this case, if you add
mm-hmm.
11 to your 13, like you said correctly, it's a 24-6. That's a fabulous day for you because you're beginning something new. Now, I don't know what day of the week it is. I'm not looking at a calendar. I do that with my VIPs where I really, really get down to the nuts and bolts. Well, can you do something that day? I don't know.
Good
if it's
question.
A Sunday, I don't know. You know, I know Halloween's around there, and I think Halloween's on the – on a Friday, my daughter keeps telling me. She's all excited. So 29th is probably, let's see, around a Tuesday. Anyway, whatever it is,
yeah,
if you're launching
Wednesday.
Something, then you don't want to do it on a Sunday or whatever. Pardon me?
Okay, yeah. The 29th
yeah.
is a Wednesday. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, maybe Halloween's not on a Friday. Maybe it's a, she got that wrong.
No,
okay,
she's right.
So,
the Halloween's on the Friday. Halloween's on the Friday. The 29th is 2 days before. It's on Wednesday.
Of course,
yeah.
Not 3 days. Sorry, that was me.
That's okay.
So it is Wednesday. Good. So, yes, that would be another day I would pick for you because of your sixth destiny. And this is about career. So in terms of October, so now you know how to do it. The reason I put you through this exercise is I want you to be able to do this for another month for yourself. Right? So you can start seeing how this works. And if anything involves your destiny, activating a 3, 6, or 9 is good. You're in a 3 year now, so that's already activating your destiny, right? So if you pick the actual 6, which is your destiny number, you're activating that in a good way.
Okay, and there's also a personal 6-day on November 1st, so like 4 days later, but that's going to be on a Saturday, so that won't work.
Well, also, is November what kind of month for you?
It's a 14-5 personal month.
Okay, now you are a 23-5. For somebody else, I would say no, don't start it on a 5. But because this is one of your numbers, November is actually a good month for you. So you can still keep looking. Like, for example, if the first is a 6, as you know, it's a 6 personal day, do you know what you do next? If you know the number 1 is good, but it's a Saturday, what else can you check? What other 3 days? What other 3 days are?
Okay, the 10th is a 15-6 day.
Yep, the 10th. And what are the other 2 days?
The 19th.
Yep.
I'm guessing, and is that the only one? Is there another one?
There is one more.
Oh, boy.
Just add 9 to 19, and you'll get
it.
Oh,
yeah. There you go, 28th. I don't know why I did
28th.
That. 28th,
yeah. So that's the little trick you do. So if you're counseling your clients and they say, well, what days are good with me for me, and you know a 6, for example, with you is good, you find the first one, and then you just say, oh, well, you have 3 more or 2 more. You know,
okay.
Sometimes it's just 3 that you have. But in this case, it's 4. Anytime it's the 1, you always have 4 1 days. You always have 4 2 days, and you always have 4, well, except for February, you have 4 3 days because February is 28 or 29 days. Right, and then sometimes you have 4 days. When you have 31 days in a month, then you can have 4 days that are the 4th, the 13th, 22nd, and 31st. That's what I mean by when I say 4 days, right? I don't mean literally it's a 4-day for them, but you can add the number 4 3 times if it's a good day for them. So for you, we know the number 1 in November is very good. So then we just immediately you start saying, okay, that means the 10th and the 19th and 28th are good as well, okay?
Okay.
So now there are exceptions to that rule, like anything. It's not just a blanket statement. Some of those exceptions would be certain numbers that you may not want to trigger, like, for example, in some instances you wouldn't want to use the number 16, like if 7 is good for them, let's say November 7th is very good, you wouldn't necessarily always want to use the number 16, depending on the person and depending on the occasion, right? So, for example, I would not start a live event of mine on a day that was a 7 and then maybe another number, 16-7, and that's just because of the nature of my blueprint. I don't have any 7s. And that can really indicate events for me that are unforeseen that I would won't be as comfortable dealing with, just because I don't have that in my blueprint. Now, for a person who is a 7, let's say they have a 7D destiny, that would be a fabulous day, right? So that's why I say there are exceptions, and those you start recognizing as you do, as you delve more deeply into each example, each client. You know, and you start looking at their numbers and you start understanding how numerology works, right? So, okay, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Is it okay for me to ask another question, or do you need to go to someone else?
I think I'd rather move on to somebody else, but just if you could either go to Facebook and ask it there if it's possible, because, and, you know, maybe I'll get into Facebook, you know, in the next couple of days, or somebody else might answer it, or just leave it until the next call that we do. So, but Facebook is a great place to just even ask any of these questions you have. You know, there's always going to be somebody who's going to want to help you. So,
okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Including me when I can. So, yeah. Okay.
All right.
So good luck with that.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You're welcome, Kwanzaa. Okay. All right, so let's move on to, let's see, this is area code 787. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tanya. It's Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
My question is, since you said it doesn't matter if it's a simple question or what, when you mentioned the wisdom numbers, I figured out that my wisdom number is a 7, and my destiny number is 7, and then I also have like a double 8 from my life purpose is 8 and my day of birth is 8.
Mhm. Mhm.
So what I don't know, in a way I was hoping that I would have like a better wisdom number. I don't know. For some reason I 7.
Oh,
I feel like the
that.
7 just like weighed me down.
Oh.
Can you just maybe tell me how to look at it a little bit more accurately or better or something? I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Certainly a 7 wisdom number is nothing to be, you know, upset about or concerned about at all. It really is a powerful, powerful number. In fact, yours, if you are a 7, you know, any 7 wisdom number would come from the fact that you are an 8, right? Because you add 8 plus 8.
Right.
That's the only
yeah.
way to get a 7 wisdom number. So yours is a 16-7. And so that's very, very powerful. I mean, 16-7 basically allows you to take events out of the blue that come into your life and that change you dramatically from one moment to the next. And the 7 itself is the wisdom number. It represents wisdom. That is what that number really represents, is the immense divine intelligence that comes through intuition. So, you know,
so like
your inner, that means your inner resources are totally going to be activated, your psychic energy. It's actually, to me, a wonderful number to have. And so what will happen is you will become fascinated, or you are now, I don't know how old you are, but you'll become fascinated by things like numerology and astrology, for example, the mysteries of life, divination arts, and they will allow you to rise in your field, because the 16-7 itself is very much about a culmination. When you use your intuition, it's about huge success, that number. It's only when you don't trust your intuition that these sudden events can challenge you in a big way, right? That's the shadow side. But if you do follow through with who you are as an intrinsic intuitive being that's totally always connected with God, with the divine, through intuition, and you trust that and you nurture it in your life, then this is a very, I would say it's an incredible wisdom number. You know, so
does it work the destiny? Like, because my destiny number is 7.
Oh, well, if your destiny is 7, that's even better. What does that mean to you, knowing that? Knowing your destiny is a 7. What would the wisdom number do?
Well, that's why I was kind of hoping that I'd be, like, done maybe learning every 2 seconds.
Oh.
I thought I'd be done like with the lessons and learning and you know, I'd reach some kind of wisdom. I don't know.
Well,
I
the destiny is your
felt...
career, right? I mean, that's what destiny, it's your career
yeah.
environment. So if the 7 is activated later in your life, what it will do is it will activate your career environment. That's the actual basic meaning of that. So it's a lining up of energies that is basically saying, okay, Nancy, you have now reached a point in your life where wisdom is your guide, and you can use the wisdom you have to forge out your 7 career, which is a career that's based on trusting your innate wisdom and teaching it to others in some way, or guiding others with it. You know, since you're a 8 on top of that with your day of birth and life purpose, as you said, there is some kind of leadership that you're imparting to your tribe. And, you know, now I don't know whether you have an online presence? Do you have people who are following you?
No, not now. I'm actually I've been working on starting a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that actually I wanted to start last month, and I still, things keep coming up that I don't actually get to start it up. And as far as career goes, I'm kind of like in limbo, because I was an actress. And so
mm-hmm.
right now I haven't been able to be involved in that at all for the last few years.
Okay.
I keep wanting to, like, start some kind of a YouTube channel or something like that to get myself sort of in my element a little bit more.
Yeah. Excuse me. A YouTube channel is good as long as it points somewhere. Otherwise, it's a wasted energy source. You do want to point the YouTube video to a landing page or a website. I'm getting into business coaching now. But you really do want to make sure you have something else lined up. Otherwise, the YouTube video is, I mean, yes, it will be fun for people to watch, but they're not being guided to go anywhere. And the whole point is that there's an energy exchange, not just an energy giving, but an energy exchange where they come to you. And since you're a double eight, you're definitely wanting that in your life. A lot of your life is about understanding money, wanting money, figuring out how to create money. That's what eights do. And so you'll want to figure out how to make it lucrative, right? So how to make it an income source for you. So my suggestion to you is, and I'm just looking at your year, 9 plus 7. Okay, you're in a 7 year. You'll be in an 8 year next year. So these 2 years are very, very important. They're triggering your whole blueprint right now and next year, right? So so I would say...
44. Does that count as an 8 also?
Pardon me?
You know what I mean? I'm 44, and does that count also as an 8? Like, am I activating an 8 in my age this year as well?
The age matters as well. I always do look at that for my clients. Yes, you do want to look at what your age is, because that number is the one you carry through all year. Excuse me. So it runs concurrent with your personal year number. So the fact that you have an 8. You know, that you are 44 and it is an 8, and that 8 is one of your two numbers, and that you're in a 7 year, that means both your numbers are activated right now. So, you know, it's a very, very potent time for you, and I would definitely, you know, throw your eggs in this basket and get going if you're wanting to do YouTube, make sure you got a place that's pointing them somewhere where they can sign up either for a newsletter or something, you know, something that starts to gather their names, because these are targeted. These will be targeted leads that you'll want. So, and you're in that point in your life right now with your astronomy where this is very powerful and very important for you to be doing. So,
Okay, that's. I feel better.
Good.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome, Nancy. Good luck.
Thank you. All right,
bye. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. We have next Jazzy Girl, Anonymous.
Hi, this is Linda.
Hey, Linda, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How about you?
Doing well, thank you. Enjoying this call.
Well, good.
Yeah, so
me too.
What's up? The way, I shouldn't say what's up. How are you? I just remembering you had a surgery. How are you?
The last
good?
Few days, I'm feeling much better. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good.
I still have a ways to go before I feel back to my old self, but that's actually one of my questions, too.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask the one about the Chiron first. My Chiron is at 18 degrees Pisces in the fifth house. Can you tell me a little bit about what that would mean?
Okay, hold on. Let me just... get you up here, so Linda. Cause it's really hard. I'm very visual, so you're telling me this, and I'm like, okay, but where's your chart? I'm like, I gotta find you. Where are you, Linda? 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 Linda. Okay. All right. So where did you say it was?
It's at 18 degrees Pisces in the fifth house.
Okay, 18 in the fifth house. So, so it forms a trine to your sun, and it forms a trine to Neptune. You have a grand water trine.
Okay.
Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, your sun's in a water sign in Cancer. Neptune's in a water sign in Scorpio.
Oh, right. I do see that.
And this is a water Chiron, and that's a grand trine. That's a very psychic. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, the wounded part of you is, let's look at the houses, first, fifth, and ninth, water sign. Definitely working on a level of psychic energy and supporting others emotionally is what's going to help you heal. And doing it in a way that is fun, fifth house fun, where it's personality driven, first house, that's personality driven, ninth house teaching, higher education teaching, doing courses.
Mm-hmm.
Doing fun things is important for you. So enjoying life. So do you do that? Is that?
I do, yep. Mm-hmm. I enjoy life.
Yeah, right. So, and you live near water, and right? Aren't you near water now?
Yep, about 1 mile away.
Yeah, that's really, really important to you because of this water trine. It involves, the water trine isn't just any water trine. It's the sun. That's you. You know, it's not an impersonal planet. It's a personal planet. It's the most important personal planet, which is the sun. So it involves you and Cancer. And, of course, you are a 14-5. That is about enjoying life, the number. It's a very, very fun, loving number, the 5. So, and then, of course, when you look at Neptune in the first house, I mean, that's obviously a very defining location for any planet to be the first house. It's very important. In Scorpio at 15 degrees, and notice the numbers, too, 2014, 2015. I mean, they're all being triggered in you right now. This grand water trine is being triggered. So even 2018 will be very important for you to look out for with the Chiron there. But that number, the 15, is about serving others and being the counselor. And, of course, it's about unconditional love as well. It's a very loving number. It's about love. So your relationship, first house is opposite the 7th. Anyway, it does trigger your 7th house. You do see that, right? There is 2 sextiles that are being formed directly to Jupiter. I mean, literally from Chiron to Jupiter. Jupiter's in your 7th house. Beautiful marriage location. So there is a lot of healing within your marriage. Like just the fact that you're with your husband and living that life with him is healing for you.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And very good, in a good way. So, it's actually, if I had to have Chiron in any kind of location, I would like it to be like yours. It's actually very beautiful. The grand trine is so healing in itself, that actual grand trine sacred geometry, which is what I talked about at the beginning of the call, you know, with Mars and Uranus and Jupiter right now. You have that in your chart with Chiron. So it really lessens, in fact, you know, in a way, the effect. And also having Jupiter in a very harmonious aspect lessens the effect of the wounded part. But you still have to pay attention to it because it's watery, and watery is very deep and subconscious, and it may be hidden and for that reason. Right.
Right.
I mean, so.
And you know, I until I was probably about 30, I didn't know how to relax or have fun, and Saturn is at 4 degrees Pisces in the 5th house.
Ah, interesting. Well, that really is important.
First
that Saturn return. Whoa, yeah, absolutely. That Saturn return woke you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's a great observation then.
So this upcoming Uranus-Jupiter trine, the Jupiter is in Leo in my 10th house, and Uranus is in Aries in my 6th house. So that's going to be pretty important for that whole.
Yeah, for your work, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So are you able energetically to be there?
Not yet.
But you know what? It's going to last a while, though, just so you know. It's not like the only time it's happening. It's going to retrograde and come back. So, but while you're not doing as much work, while you're still recuperating, I would, in your mind, or even if you can speak into a, like, I don't know how much typing you're doing, but if there's a way for you to just notate what's coming through you, just so you have it around when you are able to manifest, when you have your energy back,
mm-hmm.
because it is a very big time, you know, for everybody, but, you know, in terms of you, it's your career. So you'll want to know what's happening, or even have conversations with people or mentors that you trust during this time. It doesn't, you know, and make notes on what comes through as a result of having that communication about your career. Whatever it is, or doing research online, whatever it is you can do to activate the actual career side of things is really, really good for you.
Okay, great. I will do that. The other question that I had is the shadow side of the numbers. You know how, like, for instance, like the shadow side of 3 is drama and depression. How does one, what do they do to make that shadow side appear? And then what could they do to, like, get out of it? I don't know if I'm expressing myself very good, but do you know what I mean? Like, how does one, like, fall into depression if they have, the like, a 3 in their blueprint? Or I'm thinking of Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was that 21-3.
Well, that's what made him such a great actor, too. He could express himself so well. Yeah, so there's 2 sides to the 3. For Robin Williams, obviously, I mean, he had other things, too, which are important in these astronumerology that showed his brilliance. But the 3 definitely showed the acting, the performance. It is the acting performance stage number.
Mm-hmm.
So he certainly had that. The 3, well, being prone to depression, yes. 3s absolutely will get moody. And it's because this is the artist number. And as you know, artists are very sensitive. So
mm-hmm.
they're sensitive to stimuli in general. So the way it works is then something happens in their life, something upsets their equilibrium somehow, and sometimes they can't handle it for whatever reason. In his case, he was an alcoholic. He did turn to alcohol at some point in his life and then unfortunately became addicted. So during times of his life where he was, you know, activated in a way that he couldn't handle, he would turn to either alcohol or whatever it was, you know, unfortunately. So, but in general, the 3s, not that 3s turn to alcohol at all, I'm not saying that, but 3s can sometimes get, what happens is whatever the situation is that's aggravating them that they can't handle is then over-emotionalized, and they make mountains out of molehills very easily because
mm-hmm.
they're into drama. You know, I mean, 3 is the performance number. That is about, like, okay, look at me on the stage. You know, this is, like, shine the light on me. That's creating a dramatic entrance into,
mm-hmm.
right, so they're into drama. So they can activate drama in their own life in a way that then leads to over-analyzing or over-processing emotional stuff that's going on. So that's one way the shadow side gets activated. As to how to, you know, the abundance blueprint I do is deals with, you know, remedies specific to each number.
Oh, so that's when you would have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, because, I mean, for all of us, the whole point is to always try to be in balance. And for 3, sometimes that can be very difficult because when you're emotionally out of balance, it's really hard to focus on being balanced because you're emotionally already all over the place, right? And 3s can get distracted easily. So
yeah, I have a 3 personal shift number.
Oh, okay. So do you have the abundance blueprint?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just read what it says there in that blueprint because it does describe, you know, the remedies as well. And it
so
really
those
goes,
are the remedies to get somebody out of the shadow side and back into the positive aspect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what
yep.
somebody would do.
Yep.
For any number, you would look at their personal shift number and the remedies.
Yes. Aspect. You would look at the personal shift number for sure for anybody to help them get back in balance. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a very, very good point. So for you, that would be the number 3. And so for you, it's very important that you talk about things. you cannot keep things inside. Please don't figure them out yourself, because you'll just, you need to like speak, or if you're a musician, write a song, or you listen to music, cry about it, laugh about it, express yourself, watch a movie that makes you cry, even if it's funny and you cry. You know, it's like you have to release somehow through communication or, and usually the way we do that is we talk to somebody. We share with a friend or with our spouse what's going on, and we just vent, basically. That's what you're doing.
And you're saying this because I'm a personal shift number 3.
Yeah, for you that would be important to understand. For you.
I'll have to go back and look at my report then.
And the other thing is, for threes, and this is very important in general for threes, but also for you, is that you want to hang with people who have a positive disposition, because you do get very, very affected, being very sensitive, by your environment. So if you're with negative people, you will, even children, like it's so important for parents to understand about their 3 kids, they are so impressionable. I mean, they really want to believe what people tell them. And so they also take on energetically somebody who's not in a good mood or not feeling well, or they take that on just naturally. So you want to be around people who are naturally not depressed.
So
it's important to you. Yeah.
So going back to Robin Williams, I don't know what his personal shift number was, but his birthday was 21-3. So he could use some of these same, he could have used some of these same things, like talking to somebody, crying, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah,
to get out of the depression.
Yes. And the problem with depression,
absolutely.
Now, the thing with depression is they tend to isolate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And not talk, and they get depressed. I mean, very often with depression, it's something that's so private and so sensitive and in a way embarrassing, right? You don't want to go into your stuff. And so for him, it would have been very important to have somebody he could always turn to that he could trust, no matter how he felt, who would not judge him for it and just be there for him. And otherwise, he would turn to alcohol in his case, So.
Right. Okay, that's good. I've always wanted to ask that, but then would always forget. And that Robin Williams story was quite sad. So
I know.
So I was like, I'm going to remember this time to ask.
Yeah, and one of these days I'm going to actually, in a live event, look at him very, very closely, because there's a lot I discovered when I looked at his astrology too, at the moment of his passing. And so there's a lot to learn, actually, from him because of who he was, and because people do feel like they understand him on some level. He's a good example in terms of just understanding energy and astrology and how things work. So anyway, that's in the future. But yeah, that's to answer your question. So
you have a lot of classes planned. Are you going to be able to...
I know. I keep saying that.
I do
this
for 3 too.
Well, guess what? I've been through major transition this year, and it's really slowed me down in terms of releasing stuff that I thought I could. So, just personally, there's stuff that happened to me, and of course, it's a 7-year. Why should I be surprised? I'm a numerologist. I should know, but I just didn't expect myself to be so having to go through what I have. So it's I'm now getting it back together, and so you'll see a lot more from me, especially in 2015. But after this event on November 8th, I'm going to refocus on everything that I've told you guys about already this year. And thank you for bringing that up. So, but yeah, I know there are things that are coming, and We'll get to those.
Next year you'll have more power and energy to do them, right, with your age?
Yeah. That's right. I'll have a lot more insights after this year, I can tell you that. Oh, my God.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, good. Well, all my best to you for your continued recovery.
Great, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Well, thanks for being on the call. That was
interesting.
Good. Okay. Well, good. Well, let's We have come to the end of our questions, and it's been another incredible call. I've really enjoyed it all. And like I said, no question is off limits on these calls. So please bring them all, every call, and we can go as deep as you want to go with your questions. We covered a lot today. And again, it's still a 7 months, so be aware of everything that's going on in your life and get ready for some fabulous energy to come through. And we'll be in touch next month when we're going to have some incredible eclipses to talk about. And I'm sure many questions on your front in that regard. There's also Mercury retrograde. Do not forget that. That's happening from the 4th to the 25th of October. We have an Aries lunar eclipse on the 8th of October and a Scorpio solar eclipse on October 23rd. I will talk more about these tomorrow in Future Forecast Formula. But in the meantime, all of you have a fabulous month. We'll talk again in mid-October, and be sure you join me on the 8th. It's going to be fabulous, 8th of November. Okay, so goodbye, everyone, and we'll talk soon, and we'll meet you on Facebook, too. All right, thanks so much. Bye-bye.